Support for WOSU podcasts comes from listeners. You can give at WOSU.org. Thank you for supporting digital content from WOSU Public Media.
Welcome to All Sides Weekend Chefs in the City. I'm your host, Ann Fisher, with my co-hosts, WOSU restaurant reviewers, bloggers, and cooking teachers, Steve Stover. Welcome back, Steve.
Good morning, Ann.
And Rich Terapak Sr. Welcome back, Rich.
Thanks, Ann.
Nick and Nora Charles, as portrayed by William Powell and Myrna Loy in the Thin Man film series, were the epitome of 1930s sophistication, and that included Nick's penchant for the cocktail done the right way.
You see, the important thing is the rhythm. You must always have rhythm in your shaking. Now, in Manhattan, you shake to foxtrot time. A Bronx, to two-step time. But a dry martini, you always shake to waltz time.
Eight decades later, the well-made cocktail has returned. We're talking about that renaissance today. If you want to share the name of your favorite cocktail joint, give us a call or email. Numbers are 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Travis Owens is the new beverage director at Wolf's Ridge Brewing and the upcoming understory in Old North Columbus. He was the founder and owner of Curio Cocktail Bar in German Village, which later became part of Harvest. Welcome to the show, Travis.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You know, actually, it was the Curio Bar where I first kind of woke up and realized something was changing. It was probably about 10 years ago. And I was at the Harvest and I saw all kinds of muddling going on and concoctions being made. And it really woke me up. So this renaissance that I call it isn't exactly new. It's been a few years now. It's got some sea legs.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's been other renaissance of the cocktail, so to speak. But the most recent, I think, started somewhere around 10 years ago. A lot of credit there should go to a gentleman who opened numerous bars in New York City named Sasha Petrosky, who passed away, unfortunately, I believe in 2005 or 2006. It was about 5 or 6 years ago is what it was. Mm-hmm. But his legacy lives on, and he's really, he kind of kickstarted the revival of the cocktail.
What was at the foundation of that? What inspired him?
Sticking to the basics, clean service. When I say clean, just minimizing your movements, utilizing only small ingredients in the right ways proper. And also just with dedicated hospitality.
I worked my way through college as a bartender, but back then the fanciest thing I did was probably a pina colada from scratch, by the way. Now everything seems to be mixes and it's gross. But so I when I see what's going on with the cocktails I see today, there's a lot of freshness to it as well.
Absolutely. The culinary aspect of it has made its way into the cocktail realm. And I think that just goes to show just the way that bars and restaurants and how important they are in today's society in the United States and everywhere. The ability to be able to utilize different ingredients in cocktails has really gotten bartenders and restaurateurs excited about cocktail programs again.
You're listening to All Sides Weekend Chefs in the City, and we're talking about cocktails today. I'm with my co-host, Steve Stover, and Rich Terapak Sr., and our guest today is Travis Owens. He's the new beverage director at Wolf's Ridge Brewing and the upcoming understory in Old North Columbus. If you want to share your favorite place to grab a cocktail, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Rich?
Yeah, Travis, it's good to see you, and I'm glad you're taking up residence at the at Wolf's Ridge. It's a great place. We enjoy it and look forward to seeing you there.
Awesome. Thank you.
You started Curio, as we were talking about, and later joined Harvest. And as I recall, we were in there one evening. It was incredibly crowded. My wife had what is her favorite drink, and you introduced her, and that's a Rob Roy, you introduced her to a very expensive vermouth. And I've never forgiven you for that. how did your talents mature while you were there?
You know, I think from, you know, one of the things that I, like I've said this many times, one of the things that I really prided myself and our staff on as a cocktail bar was the fact that from the first day until the last day, we were always editing. We were always making our physical space more efficient, and we were always figuring out how to be more refined in what we were doing without utilizing too many ingredients, without going too overboard. And I think that that's where I've kind of, a place that I've got to in this industry at the moment is just really knowing how to finesse things and utilize things in the most efficient way, and also nowadays now the most sustainable way as well. That expensive vermouth isn't probably quite as an outlier as it was before now, because there's a lot more on the market.
Oh yeah. If anybody goes to Weiland's, they'll find about probably 24 different.
Yes, which speaks volumes what has happened over the last 5 to 10 years in the cocktail world.
Yeah, I mean, the distilleries have just, you know, we talk about craft brewing, craft beer, but craft distilling is just as big these days.
Absolutely. You see, you know, in Columbus alone, Watershed, Middle West, Echo Distilling, we've had numerous other smaller distillers come on board in the last few years. And, you know, it's definitely a growing community. I'm good friends with most of those people. And it's just kind of it's most of the times it's a family affair, and we're all supporting each other in the service world. Now more than ever, I feel it's important that we're, you know, us as a business at Wolf's Ridge, being a small business, that we're supporting other small businesses in Columbus as well.
Right. You know, bartenders from around the country convene at the Tales of the Cocktail event in New Orleans every year. I imagine you've been to that many times. What are some emerging trends now? Anything notable?
You know, when I started Curio years ago, there was still the connection via internet. So there was a lot of trading of information. But I do think that the pandemic has, you know, there's some good things that have come out of this. I think that the communication aspect of it has grown even further. So like things like Tales of the Cocktail that went digital this year, I was able to listen to probably 10 or 15 different live shows being broadcast like we're doing now, and just educating myself and refreshing myself and also meeting people and kind of keep driving the cocktail industry and the beverage industry, you know, to a better place. But that's, I do see, you know, things like Tales of the Cocktail and our ability to be able to reach out and have instant information has definitely kind of, helped, catapult things to a different space at this point.
Hmm. Yeah. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, Travis, I'm really interested in what's happening with Understudy. It's in the new, Wolf's Ridge second restaurant up in near Hudson and Neal.
Correct.
And I'm real interested of that we've heard about where it is and that but I'd like to hear more also about what's planned for the menu.
Sure. The space itself is a beautiful space. Open air is the name of the concept. It's an old schoolhouse building that I believe, don't quote me on this, but I believe it was built during the tuberculosis kind of crisis. And so they built it to be a little bit more open air while kids were in school. So there's a lot of open windows, a lot of greenery in the area. It's in a really cool little spot. The concept itself of Understudy is, it's right now what's going to be opening in the next month or two will be the event space, which is a beautiful layout there. There's lots of exposed brick, some nice hardwood flooring. It's just real. It's going to be a really, really cool spot. And then from the bar aspect of it, to keep things kind of in tune with what's going on in that area, there's a lot of transient nature to it. There's a big transient nature, being it's right on a bike trail, right on a walking trail. So there'll be people coming in from all over. So we're going to try to keep things probably a little bit more lower ABV as far as cocktail alcohol content goes. and offer some NA options, which is kind of an emerging thing in the cocktail world at the moment, but also catering to efficient service, hopefully with some draft cocktails. Cocktails will be poured off of a handle. And just, you know, kind of focusing on that hospitality aspect of the space itself.
Yeah. Talk about the no alcohol movement now and how it intersects with this renaissance of cocktails.
I'm sorry, I lost you there in the beginning of that.
Kind of how, you know, this no alcohol or low alcohol movement and how it intersects with this creative time in cocktails.
Yeah, I think the cocktail world in general over the last 10 years has had to make some transitions and some right and left turns. And I think that something like this is definitely one of those. It's an ever-evolving thing. And I think that the cocktail world at this point is, as a group of people or the community, is actually, you know, leaning way more into being aware and aware of physical and mental health in this industry. And I think that the NA option and non-alcohol or lower ABV is becoming a very, very attractive way to still enjoy yourself and go out, have a drink, and still experience what people, you know, were experiencing before this was prevalent in the industry. It also opens a new door for different, it's hard to call them spirits because they're not technically spirits anymore, but it's opening a whole new door of commerce and a new door of ingredients that are accessible to a bartender at this point.
Yeah, Steve.
We were in a restaurant, an upscale restaurant this week, and they had a section on the cocktail menu called Sans Alcohol. One of them was a kombucha. Another one was organic hemp CBD. And another was something called Zero Gravity. And the prices were almost the same as the cocktails. But what about the new sober bar that's coming into Columbus?
Yeah, I've heard a little bit about that, but not a whole lot. I've kind of seen this on the radar for a while now. I think it's a great thing. Anything that adds to the community is a good one. I'm curious to see kind of where that's going to be. I'm going to be one of the first people to check it out for sure. But I think it's a wonderful, you know, addition to our city. Coming soon, hopefully.
How do you like those new zoning, I don't know how to, regulations that allow people to walk around certain areas with drinks instead of having to stay in a bar or a restaurant?
Yeah, the designated areas, like the sports arena areas. I think that the loosening of the restrictions from a law, legal standpoint recently have definitely are things that have helped these bars and restaurants and small businesses pivot a little bit during this time that we're in, and it helps them to overcome some of these obstacles, whether it be financial or just from a volume standpoint of getting customers into the door. I think anything at this point to help resuscitate an industry that really took a pretty good blow is something that's good and is something that's necessary.
Yeah, it took a blow, is right. And it from what we understand, it continues to take the blows. It's not, we were hoping, you know, last spring, right, guys? I mean, hoping for a little bit more of a revival, but given the Delta variant and whatnot, things have sort of stalled. What are your expectations, Travis?
I think, you know, as far as COVID goes, it's hard to say. That's a pretty unpredictable one, but it does seem like we have crossed, you know, the threshold that we might have been encountering in winter. So hopefully, you know, my fingers are crossed that hopefully in the next like 3 to 4 months we can get back to where we were 3 or 4 months before now. I think that like I said earlier, there are definitely aspects of it that have helped businesses survive, and that's the ones that made the pivots and the ones that got really, really creative with their to-go cocktails and their social media and delivering cocktails to your doorstep. Those type of places that kind of had to make the quick adjustments on the fly, they've been weathering the storm as best they can. And I think that, you know, they'll be better for that in the long run, as long as they can, you know, get the support of the community and get the support of the leadership in Ohio they will survive and we will make it through, even though, unfortunately, we have we've lost a few of our legends, so to speak, in the restaurant, bar and restaurant world all over the country.
And locally.
Yes.
Yeah. The spirit of Columbus seems to be getting some play. The New York Times says that everybody ought to come here and eat at the distilleries and breweries. That's pretty wonderful. And I think I think the folks at Experience Columbus and the Chamber of Commerce ought to be happy about that. We're leading the pack, according to the Times.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome to see that. There's, you know, like you just hit on, there's you know, employment opportunities there. There's expansion, you know, shameless plug, even Wolf's Ridge, they've made certain pivots in certain ways to be able to still be so accommodating to their staff. Like they're one of the, I haven't experienced too many folks in my time that take care of their people like they do.
Right. And
I think that's, you know, those type of environments are what are being created in these distilleries. It's a family affair, like I hit on earlier, and sooner or later, all these things are going to start to tie together a little bit, even better once the smoke clears, so to speak, here shortly.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what sticks, in other words, afterwards. Yeah. Well, Travis Owens, thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. I appreciate you guys having me.
That's Travis Owens. He's the new beverage director at Wolf's Ridge Brewing and the upcoming Understory in Old North Columbus. He was the founder and owner of Curio Cocktail Bar in German Village, which later became part of Harvest. We're going to hear from another bartender mixologist coming up in the program, so join us. And if you want to share your favorite place to grab a cocktail, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7. NPR News.
Another old-fashioned, please. Make it another double old-fashioned, please.
Welcome back to All Sides Weekend Chefs in the City. I'm your host, Ann Fisher, with my co-hosts, WSU restaurant reviewers, bloggers, and cooking teachers, Steve Stover and Rich Terapak Sr. You can see all of their work for us at WOSU.org/chefs. That was Ann Southern singing Cole Porter's Make It Another Old Fashioned from the 1942 film Panama Hattie, an appropriate song for our show today on cocktails and the cocktail renaissance that's been underway for the last decade in Central Ohio, due in large part to the bartenders who are pushing the proverbial envelope. Genevieve Johnson is bar manager and lead bartender at Rue. It's an upscale Indian restaurant in the Short North. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Hi.
You're creating a new cocktail menu at Rue, which is known for its complex cocktail program infused with the flavors of India. Give us an example of two of what you're working on. What sort of things?
So currently, there is one that has this drink or this like fruit. It's called like a custard apple, and it tastes more like a banana. And I mix that with a little bit of scotch and some sherry, and it tastes pretty nice. And then I'm also doing like a riff on one of our cocktails that we have, which is the Hyderabad tonic, which is just a gin and tonic, like a fancy gin and tonic. And I'm using a spiced pomegranate shrub for that one.
You know,
so that one's interesting.
Like on the first one that you talked about, is it the ingredient that inspires you, like that custard apple? Where do you even start?
So I start with going to the Indian grocery store and just kind of taking a look or doing a little bit of research online. A lot of these foods I haven't tried before. So I just go get them and I try them. And then I see if I want to work with them, if I see if I want to, you know, do this or this or, you know, whatever
And then do you make them for people and share them and see how people respond, or?
Oh yeah. We do a lot of research and development throughout like the shifts and all the people that, you know, come in, like Sean Taylor's the new GM, and I have a awesome bartender with me as well, Robbie Ottman, and we all just bounce ideas off of each other. So it's really nice.
You know, Travis Owens from Wolf's Ridge was talking about keeping things simple. I mean, it can be elegant, it can be creative, but not having a million things going on.
So everyone has their own philosophies. The bartender I just spoke about, Robbie, he's very like that. He's like very clean and crisp and minimalistic, and just do like your, maybe you change a few things and make it your own, but like definitely basics and like keeping it like pure, not pure, but keeping it very like paying respect to the original cocktail, where Sean and I are maximalists. And so we definitely are like, what if we add a little bit of this to just make this like tiny ting of difference, which like doesn't really matter, but like it does. Yeah. So everyone's different. Sometimes I want to go more simple and I want to just do an easy riff that I can, you know, be proud of and know that it's going to taste good and know that I did it and it's good and all that. But then sometimes I'm like, what if I just put 20 things in here and made it taste great too? And it's really back and forth.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about cocktails this hour on our All Sides Weekend Chefs in the City. This is Genevieve Johnson. She is bar manager and lead bartender at Rue. That's an upscale Indian restaurant in the Short North. And she was featured in the September issue of the Columbus Monthly Magazine, if you want to check that out. Also with me, my co-hosts, Steve Stover and Rich Tarapak Sr. If you want to join the conversation, 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Steve? Rich?
Yeah, Genevieve, in the article in the Columbus Monthly, you talk about the six flavors of Indian cuisine that you try to incorporate. I can see why you're a maximalist if you can get all six flavors in one drink. Talk a little bit more about that. I know, you know, we had four flavors in sort of the European cuisine that was much talked about last year in a book about the same, salt, fat, etc. How do you get those ingredients and how do you incorporate them? It seems like that's a real challenge.
So the six rasas are kind of little jumping off points for us. We do have like categories on our menu that show where this cocktail might fit. But it's really difficult because cocktails do need to be like balanced. So people always look at the menu and like, wow, it's sweet. I don't really want something sweet. And I'm like, well, if you're interested in that cocktail, definitely try it, because it's not like it's going to be candy in your mouth. It's just going to be on the sweeter side. So working with that is really, it kind of helps me steer the cocktails in a certain direction, and it gives me some guidelines. I'm a big person that, you know, wants to know what to do and know how to do it right. So creating cocktails has been interesting to just have it be myself and my own rules and everything. But we don't necessarily try to like fit all six into it. Ideally, at least four are in there just naturally because of having it be a well-balanced cocktail. But it's definitely not, you know, salty, sweet, bitter, sour, pungent, astringent, all in one cocktail.
Rue is a restaurant first, a bar service second, kind of a thing. And I don't know what your experience has been as a bartender and how this compares and contrasts maybe with being bar forward, and what the differences are for you in your profession.
Well, so I've, you know, been in all the different restaurants and bars, and I think that because Rue is so restaurant based and it's all about food and creating more of like a addition to that through the cocktail bar, it's been kind of back and forth on creativity and back and forth on If I'm making a drink that is for the general public, that no matter what, you're just going to drink and you're going to like, or if I'm making something that's going to, you know, push the envelope a little bit and bring people in for those cocktails. And more and more, I'm seeing people come in just for cocktails. And they're sitting at the bar and they're coming in and they're like, we came for cocktails. We, you know, might have an appetizer, but we're really here for cocktails. So I'm seeing that more and more, which is really awesome. But I think right now, just trying to find that balance of making it creative and fun, but also very easy to digest for everybody else.
Yeah, Steve?
There's a place called the Roosevelt Room. It's a group from Cincinnati that's coming, and it's a drinks-only bar. How do you think that changes things?
You did just stutter a second. Was it just, you said drinks-only bar? Or
drinks-only bar, yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah. I mean, that's what I would not ideally like to work at, because I like to munch during food, during shift if I can. But I think that just like focusing on drinks and having people come to a specific place for a specific thing, know exactly what they're going to get, or be able to kind of explore a little bit more, but come for the drinks is going to be something I think most bartenders that are in it for the craft are going to be really open to and excited about.
Yeah. Rich?
You started off in a nearby bar that was upstairs and practically drinks only, as I recall. The Denmark, is that what it was?
Yes. Yes, it is.
And so you had a good example of that. It seems like there has to be something to munch on, particularly something salty, so you get them to buy the next drink.
I mean, as Sean always says, is drinks sell themselves. People want to come, they want to drink, they want to have fun. Even if they're not getting the, you know, $16 cocktail, they're still going to come for, you know, a nice vodka and soda, gin and tonic. They're going to drink. So it's just making it interesting. I know, I'm pretty sure you have to serve some type of food. And a lot of bars kind of wind around it by just on like a bag of chips here and there, which not many people take advantage of, but I can assume the staff definitely likes. Denmark does have like some munchies, and they've scaled back now that pandemic is a thing. But they did do like flatbreads and charcuterie boards, and it was all really delicious. But now I just think they're doing like little snacky snackies.
We have an email from Donnie. He says, I've long been a fan of spirits, particularly bourbon and gin. So it's been a great experience working at Watershed Distillery and having my hand in creating world-class spirits. I'd like to give a shout out to our team at Watershed Kitchen and Bar. You can experience our spirits and cocktails created by David Yee and his team while looking through the glass and seeing the spirits being produced in real time. You know, Genevieve, what about this? Probably, I think the latest trend, ancillary trend is craft distilleries. We talked about it with Travis Owens too. What are your thoughts about that? It seems interesting and fun and another twist to all of this.
Absolutely. I mean, Columbus is such a big local city. And I think it's crazy cool to be in a city that has one, you know, amazing distillery, let alone however many we have, like the 5, 6, probably up to a dozen, considering there are a bunch of like small ones starting off and like lesser known and out in like some farther areas. I think it's completely amazing. I love being able to support local, being able to, you know, talk to the people making it, and the master distillers, and talk to the reps that are, you know, coming out every single day and just making sure that you're having a good experience with the product. I think it's phenomenal. And I'm honestly so happy that I live here and I was able to get into this industry in this city. And yeah.
Well, how did you end up in this industry?
I've always just been intrigued by it, you know, just starting off just to be in the restaurant industry in general and serving and just making a little bit more money while I was in school originally. And then right from the bat, my first job, I was like, oh, so I can like make things and I can just like make what I want to drink and make my flavors and kind of curate my own experience. And then it just like blew up from there where I was like, this could be a real thing. And then I realized it was, and I was like, oh, so I can actually go do it right now. Cool.
All right. I think that's the biggest thing. You know, when I grew up in it, I put myself through school bartending too, but everything was pro forma. Everything was prescribed what you would do and exactly what you would put in. And, you know, there were all, you know, there was all the fruity drinks back then and all, you know, the pina coladas and the Mai Tais and all that garbage. But the creativity and the individuality that's coming to the fore is what I think is so fantastic. And I'm wondering how you do guide people when they come in. Sometimes I go into, you know, a bar and I just don't know what to order. There's just almost too much.
Yeah, that definitely happens. Honestly, starting off with just kind of identifying the spirit that you want to go for or identifying that one flavor you're in the mood for is kind of how I go about it. So I'm a big fan of Angostura, big fan of lemon, big fan of orgeat, anything with those in them. So if I see that and I like the other ingredients or, you know, I'm interested or intrigued by the other ingredients, I kind of just like go for it. You can always buy more.
You know? Steve, did you have a question?
Well, there are 60 craft distillers in Ohio and at least a dozen in Central Ohio. How do you choose? Do you try to support the local distillers?
I'm honestly very intrigued by any and all that come from Ohio because I'm like, wow, Ohio. Like, honestly, I do focus more on local, specifically Columbus, just because that's what I can get my hands on easier. And that's where, you know, I came into the craft. So I definitely want to support that as much as I can. But, you know, every time I see something and I'm like, look at the bottle, I'm like, oh, Ohio. Okay. Then I'm like, I'll try it. I want to, like, see what else is going on in the state, see what else other people are doing, you know.
Well, it's really been fun talking to you, Genevieve, about what you're doing. Good luck. Best wishes for every success.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. This has been awesome.
That's Genevieve Johnson, their bar manager and lead bartender at Rue, an upscale Indian restaurant in the Short North. She was featured in the September issue of Columbus Monthly Magazine. If you want to read more about her work, we are going to get to the restaurant news of the month on All Sides Weekend Chefs in the City. So stay with us. You're listening to Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
That all began with cocktails.
Welcome back to All Sides Weekend Chefs in the City. I'm your host, Dan Fisher, with my co-hosts, Steve Stover and Rich Terapak Sr. We're turning the conversation from creative cocktails to the latest Central Ohio restaurant news, and the pandemic continues to trouble many restaurant owners. What are we hearing, Steve Stover?
Well, it's a real problem. We've heard that venerable places like Schmidt's are only opening 8 tables. Because they can only staff those. I think we've had other places that just have a handwritten sign up, can't open today, we don't have enough staffing. I think it's really a very, very serious problem. I think 71% of people are having trouble about this. The other thing is, it's number one, getting people, but also I think there are some people who are a little nervous about going out because of the Delta variant. And so I think that's the double whammy that's caused, I'm afraid, a downturn. This is the first time in several months, if not a year, that there's been a downturn.
You know, I was thinking about this conversation we were going to have now when, Rich Terapak, you were describing the scene, you know, at the old Curio bar in German Village back in the day. And I just always remember when I'd go there, it was always crowded and bustling, and you kind of had to jostle your way up there. And there were so many people and so many bartenders. It was just a blast to see that. And that's just not safe right now to have that whole atmosphere.
And that's one of the reasons I think that we're having staffing problems,
yeah,
because it's not that folks are living off of some handout from the federal government. It's because they too are afraid of the clientele, mm-hmm, of the unvaccinated clientele. Until we get past that, I think we'll continue to have problems.
Natalie's in Worthington and Grandview has had a vaccine proof or a shot within, or proof of a vaccine or proof of a negative test within, I think, like 48 hours or something like that. And they got some blowback for that. But they seem to be, managing that and moving forward. Steve?
I'm all.
We lost you.
I think that a lot of people would feel more comfortable. Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that a lot of people would feel more comfortable going to a restaurant if it was vaccination only. Another issue, I think, is we have fewer immigrants coming to our country right now. And a lot of times they are the ones who can fill some of these positions. So it's maybe a double, triple, or even quadruple whammy for Columbus's restaurants.
All right. Well, Rock Mill Tavern, one of our favorite places, right? Yeah. Talk about that. What's going on with them?
Well, our friend Matt Barbie has sort of changed things. He closed it for Rock Mill Tavern for several months, but kept open his Rock Mill Brewery. And Rich and I, our wives, were down there, and they had some really wonderful wood-fired pizza.
And yes, they were
oven on wheels with them.
Yes.
And So I think that's where Matt was headed. And so it's now called Bandit Pizza and Pairings. And they're going to focus on pizza, but also pairing them not only with their beers, but with a more curated wine list as well. Rich?
Yeah, I was glad to see that in the last couple of weeks that Matt is going to reopen the establishment we like so much. Apparently, right now it's just carry out, but they're doing some remodeling and should open fairly soon inside. As Steve said, I think he got this model from what they've been doing at their brewery down near Lancaster, where the Rock Mill is. They've been doing Friday night pizza nights down there, and it's been a big success. And so I think he's probably got some pretty good pizzas to offer. That's going to be great to have him come back.
And there was a picture in the Dispatch today of two guys sitting at the bar at Rock Mill, which I think is a lovely place because they're encouraging people to come in and have a beer while they wait for their pizza.
Okay, cool. El Segundo, Cameron Mitchell's, is it his first Mexican concept? Rich?
I believe so.
Okay.
And as Cameron always does, I think they took a whole group of their associates down to Mexico to get the real thing. We were there for the soft opening with Sunridge, and he's a Southwestern foodie, because he went to school in Arizona, and he really enjoyed what was offered. Things like the queso fondido, which is one of Steve and Mary's favorites, is really well done. The cocktails, the standard margarita was wonderful, but the tamarind margarita was even better. So they're doing some interesting things with the bar, but they've got your favorite tacos and flatbreads and some other things that I think you really enjoy. It seems like it should work.
It was formerly the space in the Short North there, former site of Harvey and Ed's, that short-lived Cameron Mitchell delicatessen concept. And then before that, of course, the legendary Rigsby's Kitchen. How do you think a Mexican or, Southwest inspired cuisine is going to fit in to the scene down there? Any thoughts?
I think it's a nice option because there aren't a lot of all the rest of the places like Cuco's and others are out in the burbs. And then if you're have a hankering for a good margarita, and you don't want to go with Indian food, you go across the street.
Well, there's Condado's.
Yeah, Condado's, which is more central downtown, and does really well. But they've got the one on, I guess, Fifth and High as well. This, I think, is a little more upscale, although the pricing is reasonable.
Yeah.
And it's called El Segundo because I don't think he's had put a different restaurant, a second restaurant, Segundo, in the same location. So that's the reason it's El Segundo.
Okay. What about Ray Ray's Meat and Three? You got to go to Granville for it. So people out there are lucky, right, Steve?
Actually, Rich.
Yeah.
Rich,
it's fun. For those of us who live on the farther east side, it's like a 25 minute tops drive out. You can get on 161 and just head east, and you get off, I think, on it's 37, I believe, and you're right there. It's well done. I mean, he this is a guy who has food trucks, so it was a big step to bring it into a bricks and mortar. It's a good looking place. It's sort of a fast casual kind of place where you get in line and you pick out things.
Okay.
They've got a limited bar. They've got some good beers. He has his farm, which is basically a pig farm, close by. Ray Ray does, and so the product is right there.
It's his pig farm.
Yeah, I think he has. Yeah, essentially a pig farm. Yeah.
Wow. Talk about local.
Then local sourcing.
There is a new wine shop, Accent by Veritas. What's going on with that?
Steve?
Well, it's really interesting, and it's something about which I, of course, am excited since I'm sort of a wine guy. Veritas Restaurant, the number one restaurant in Columbus, during the downturn, their general manager and sommelier, Greg Stokes, started a online wine business with delivery, which has really become a thing in Columbus because he'll help you curate the wines and then deliver them to you. And so some space became available in the building in which Veritas and their sister bar, the Citizens Trust, which is, in my opinion, the coolest bar.
Okay, you've accidentally muted yourself, Steve.
There we go. I think, Nadia, you got me?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, Rich.
I'll fill in for Steve. This. It is one of the best looking bars in the Midwest.
Yeah.
It's worth a message just to scope the place out.
I'm having some technical difficulties, but I'll finish this one and then, anyway, so that they've gone together and opened Accent by Veritas, which is very carefully curated wines. And he focuses on small producers, and they're from all over in the world. And they're going to have some tastings too, which I'm looking for because who wouldn't want to taste wine?
The Carfagna family has opened a whole new deal. Carfagna's Italian Market and Ristorante. It opened on September 7th. It's at near 1400 Gemini Place. So that means the one on Polaris Parkway shut down, I think. And have either of you been to that?
We have not. We've been out of the country, so we haven't gotten to a lot of those places.
Likely excuse. I've heard from people who have been to it, though, and they say it's just remarkable.
Well, you know, they've got some of the best spaghetti sauce around, so it's worth going to grab some of the marinara.
Disneyland for foodies.
Okay.
It's got, they have the same old meat case, or the, you know, with the guy, there are at least four or five male and female butchers there, and there's always a crowd there, but they've gone beyond it. They actually have a demonstration space where they can show making fresh cheese and other things, and they're going to have, I think they even have an event space. Oh, and their wine, speaking of wine, they have an excellent selection and a really good sommelier there at Carfagna's.
Oh, boy. The Fox in the Snow, the owners of Fox in the Snow, they're branching out. So Fox in the Snow is still open, but they're opened up another storefront, or is that it, Steve?
Yeah. They are quite entrepreneurial. They're the young people that have now three of their wonderful pastry and coffee shops, German Village, Italian Village in New Albany. They remember the great little Laughlin's Bakery on 2nd Avenue, East 2nd Avenue. It's a tiny little space, but I guess I haven't talked to them, but Lauren and Jeff are planning a sandwich shop there. And I think I'm excited about it.
Lauren Culley and Jeffrey Excel. Yes.
Steve, yeah, I'm glad they're offering some additional sandwiches. I mean, they had a couple at Fox in the Snow, and they were very good. But I think it's nice to have a place you can go to lunch and have more than a Danish.
Yeah, right. It's going to be exciting to see how that works. And also branching out are the folks behind Harvest Pizza Restaurants. They're opening a new restaurant adjacent to their German Village outfit. It's going to be called The Silo, and they're shifting gears here, right, Steve?
Well, this is tricky. It's hard to explain, but it's a very long, pardon me, skinny space. The Harvest on Front Street, just north of Greenlawn.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long, skinny space, and to the west is the Harvest Pizzeria. There's a space to the north separated only by a corridor. And I think that's where the very large kitchen is. And then they're going to do the Silo, which is a little more low key. They are going to have pizzettas as they're describing them, but they're also going to have Asian steams. They're bringing in some of the favorite things from their other restaurants, like the Mexican concept, Cochica Cochina, their chips and salsa and Asian steam buns and things like that. So that'll be very interesting.
Go ahead, Rich.
If anybody was ever at the Westies when it was on that South Point location, you can get a concept of what the layout is. There's a large front room. You go through a big kitchen, there's a back room with a fireplace, and then a patio area. So it's a great space, and it'll be welcome in the neighborhood, I'm sure.
I guess we have to end on a sad note, which is closings. And one of the saddest, oh my gosh, back when I had an expense account, G. Michael's. Oh, I love that place. And so sad about that closing. It was a German Village institution. I mean, it's just been around for 25 years. Or longer? Yeah. I don't know.
23 years. It was... go ahead, Rich.
Yeah, it's been around for well over 20 years, and I think David Tetzloff has done a great job over keeping it going, and had a wonderful happy hour, which we would take advantage of. I hope he finds another place. I know he had an auction of the restaurant supplies, which was discouraging, but I hope he buys a lot of new stuff and opens up another place.
And Jeff Benson, also the co-owner, and dating back to Michael Reams, who was founded the G. Michaels and the Burgundy Room. Remember that?
I do.
Yeah.
Let's see. Sassafras Bakery in Worthington closed. I'm just talking out of my ear right now, but it was getting enough help was what I understand was the problem. And boy, sure do miss her great food.
And the wonderful.
And the wildflower.
Yeah.
The wildflower on Indianola, that's been an institution.
Right.
A great place. You can always get a good piece of pie there. That's too bad. I will miss that one. Steve?
And Hunan House, one of the first real Chinese restaurants in Columbus. I'm pretty sure Hunan Lion is going to stay open up on Bethel, but that is really a loss as well.
And the Hunan House, that is the one over Lane, in the Lane Avenue?
No.
Okay.
East Side,
okay. Gosh, the outdoor dining was extended in the city of Columbus. Maybe we can end up on a bright note.
That's terrific. And we had Travis on. I was at their restaurant. They took over half of the alley, and they probably can seat another, I don't know, 60 or so people in their outdoor space. And hopefully there are enough heaters around that we can get into November with some outdoor dining.
Well, we've got to wrap it up. Steve Stover and Rich Terapak Sr. are WOSU food and restaurant bloggers and cooking teachers. You can see their blogs at wosu.org/chefs. Thanks so much for joining us today, guys. I really appreciate it. Thanks to the All-Sides staff, too. Senior producer Marcus Charleston, assistant producer Bobby Gerberich, assistant producer Aaron Esmont, with video production by the Ohio Channel and board operation by Bobby Gerberich. This is All-Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.